That's good stuff. I love the heroes like that in the midst of our church that most of us don't know. I don't know them other than that story. And today's just going to be a good, encouraging day. It's going to be a day of seeing things that you might not have been able to understand before. And so we're not just going to talk about what God's been doing at Crossroads through the Amen campaign. We're also going to talk about some transcendent spiritual principles. Let's pray before I go any further. Lord, it's an honor to be here, God. I'm thankful that I get to talk about things that are beyond the norm. Help me to put beyond the norm things in a vernacular that we can accept and believe in. I want more of us to have more of you and help the teaching push that agenda forward. And God, most importantly, I just want to honor you with anything that's said here today. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, this is a big day, man. I'll tell you, 3 years ago, we started on this I'm In journey where we gave above and beyond. We committed above and beyond. We regularly give for 3 years. And then last year, a bunch of new folks came in and got engaged through the Obsessed journey. Above and beyond, we regularly give to say, what's it mean, God, if we were to be obsessed and to be in on the things you want in and our finances look that way. And it's been a huge, huge deal this last 3 years. Probably every year, the biggest deal that we do every year is probably the Easter service. It's no surprise. Most churches, their largest attendance is during Easter and all that kind of stuff. We put a lot of creative resources into it. And it never fails, no matter how good Easter is that we do, it's never good enough for some people because I get the emails, yeah, but what about Palm Sunday? We don't do anything with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, in case you don't know, that is the Sunday before Easter. That is the Sunday where Jesus is going into Jerusalem. He's celebrated for going into Jerusalem, and it's in Jerusalem where he's tried and crucified. He's arrested, tried, and crucified. So the Sunday before that is when churches traditionally celebrate people waving palms and stuff as he's kind of coming in. And I've heard you, like, we never do Palm Sunday. Well, today, you get a Palm Sunday message. How fun is that going to be? Yes, at Thanksgiving, we're going to get Palm Sunday. Are you with me? Yes. All right. Let me read this for you. It comes to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And here's what it says. Now, Jesus sent two disciples. He said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. I heard a friend of mine, Louie, talk about this recently. I was interacting with him, and he, there was some stuff in this that I hadn't seen before. It just started like getting my mind firing, and I'm excited to talk about some of these things with us today. You know, let's just spell out what some of us feel in here. Some of us feel that it is absurd that Crossroads would talk about generosity. It is absurd. And I know that people feel like Crossroads talks about money a lot and this and that. And you need to know, we talk about generosity way less than Jesus does. So you're wrong and you're right. You're wrong that we talk about it a lot, but you're right that it is absurd. Because today is about the absurdity of generosity. I just want to come out and say, it is absurd. The idea of generosity is absurd, and we see this in this passage, the absurdity of generosity. Think about how this starts out here. There's a guy who has a donkey, and disciples of Jesus come to him and say to him, the Lord has need of your donkey. And it's like this guy must have been under voodoo, walking dead power, or something like that. He just goes, okay, you can have my donkey. And it weighs. I've always like wondered, what is going on there? Well, here's what's going on there. You've got Jerusalem. Right outside, you've got these bunches, these little itty-bitty villages. And what most likely happened is Jesus goes down and talks to this guy, had developed a relationship with him. This guy saw Jesus as the Messiah and says, hey man, I would really like to fulfill this prophecy in the Old Testament where the Messiah is supposed to go into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and I'd like to use your donkey. Are you peach with that? Yeah, man. So when these disciples go down and say, hey, the Lord would like you. Oh, he's probably, oh, good, good. I'm good. Four things that are absurd about generosity. We see in this story, and for all of us who have been generous, or all of us who ever will be generous, let me just tell you what you're in for. You're in for the absurdity. It's absurd that God asks me for what's already his. It's absurd that God asks me for what is already his. You know, God is the creator of all. Whether you believe God created in 6 literal days, or whether you believe God used epochs in a big bang, all of us recognize that none of us have called together molecules to make matter. All of us recognize that none of us have ever really made anything. We've never made a tree, we've planted a seed. We've never made a child because we didn't create our sperm or the egg. God has the creator, therefore he is the owner of all things. And it's absurd that God would actually ask us instead of taking from us. Now, sometimes God takes. Some of us have pain in our lives because there are times where God will rip things from you because you don't get it. We don't get it. But that is very, very rare. God, it's absurd. I'll tell you what, if you had something that was mine and I wanted it, I would just take it. I'll take it very much. Thank you very much. I was reliving memory lane with my oldest daughter, Lena, recently when we started at Crossroads 22 years ago. We all pulled together our money and we spent all the money. We were at zero for the first weekend. Everything was spent on mailers, on video projector, on salaries, on just everything. And we realized, oh my gosh, we're going to be having this thing called Kids Club. At that point, it's called Kids Corner. And we have no toys in the nursery. We haven't budgeted for that at all. What are we going to do? Well, Lib and I decided, well, we have toys. It's in Lena's room and in Jake's room, my son. So we just went into the room. We took all their toys. And we stuck them into Kids Corner. And the first weekend, Lena and Jake go in. They didn't know this. They go in and it's like, there's my truck. There's my truck. Oh, there's my little baking station thing. Oh, there's my. And they said mine. I said, whose is that? Whose is that? That's mine. And they knew it was going to happen because we drilled this into them. Because everything is God's. It's God's. That's right. It's God's. It's God's. And God wanted them back. God wanted them back. It is absurd that God would put himself in a position where he's relying on our generosity. But it's a beautiful and it's a really good thing. It's really easy to be generous when it's somebody else's stuff, isn't it? If you realize it's not yours, God, it's easy to be generous. This last man camp a few weeks ago, I had family coming in from Oklahoma City, a bunch of family. I had an old college buddy and a son that he's had some challenges with coming in from Chicago. And they're making long trips, they're doing airplanes, all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm gonna pass the hat for steaks and eggs and bacon, all the meals, the whole thing. You know, some guys were like, hey, no, I'm going to be, dude, there's no way. I'm happy you're here. I'm just glad that you were able to come. There's no way. I got this. And why was I able to do that? Part of it was a switch. I sensed God wanted the stuff that he had entrusted to me to go to these other people and have them not have to pass a hat around. That's the attitude you have when you're generous. It's just, you want to bless. You want to, and it's absurd that God would make his purposes dependent on how well you and I get this idea. In fact, that's a second absurdity. It's absurd that God needs us. Now, this almost sounds heretical because God doesn't need us in the sense of, oh, I'm poor, I'm hurting, please rescue me. He doesn't need us that way. He doesn't need us in the sense of, oh, I'm lonely, I'm codependent unless you're with me. He doesn't need us that way. But he's chosen to orient the cosmos and the kingdom of God to operate only if his people step up, only if his people take on his nature of generosity. God needs us. for Palm Sunday to happen, there had to be a guy with a donkey who was up for giving his donkey and being generous with the donkey, even though it wasn't his donkey, because he never created a donkey, but there had to be a guy who stepped up to do that. And for 2,000 years, Palm Sunday has been celebrated, and there's been an Old Testament scripture written of hundreds of years earlier that's been fulfilled, because God needed that guy, one person, to do something that only they could do, just like today. God needs you and I to step up and step in with the stuff that he's blessed us with for purposes that nobody else can fulfill, nobody else can do. It's crazy to think that our generosity can actually fulfill the purposes of God. It's a beautiful thing that God would orchestrate his kingdom in this world that way, and it's also an ominous thing. When Lib and I made our I'm In commitment 3 years ago, I went through the whole process. I talked about what we were going to give, our process behind it. You want to go back and look at that in the archive, you can. But we had kind of three buckets that we were doing. One bucket was, what is it that we get in our paycheck that we can reorganize, reorchestrate, cut things out that we spend money on, save less here, do whatever, and have a portion of every paycheck, an additional portion, above and beyond, way beyond where we are right now, going into this campaign. That was one pool. Second pool is, what are the assets that we have, the savings that we have, that we can kind of chunk off those and give those. And then the third was sort of this X factor of, okay, what is it that we should trust God for, that if this hits, or if we see this coming, even though we don't know for sure if it's going to come, that we feel like, okay, we should look in that pool of resources. And so in that last pool of resources, there was an investment we made in a startup, had never made one before that in a startup company, and we'll never make one again, probably, because this one didn't work. There was this big chunk of change for us. We put this money in, and we put it in because it looked really, really smart to put it in, because I knew some things were going on behind the scenes. And then we got word from these other people who invested, it looked like we were going to get like 3x of what we put in. So now in the midst of the campaign, we were thinking through what our commitment was going to be. We sense God saying, yeah, that's mine. I want that. So in addition to what we're doing, okay, God, we're going to commit that. That's fine. We're going to commit that. And then a funny thing happens. That company goes belly up. And so we're not only not going to triple, we're not even going to get back anything. And now we're left wondering, what do we do with this chunk, this commitment? We could just say, oh, forget it. You know, we just lessen by that much. But no, we've said this is a journey, and this is a journey of faith. And so we just kept a record with a date and the number of times that we could make an additional amount of gift. It might be a speaking engagement I got. It could be birthday money one of us or both of us got. It could be any number of things. And we're right now, we'll be at 3 years this January, I think. And I think we're $600 off from being able to fulfill our campaign. And part of how we're able to do this is I go to this note in my smartphone. I go there, it gives me thanks every day, every time I do. And I can see the date and the amount that we put against to make up the shortfall. And I see that massive number. It's just gotten whittled down in the last 2 years. And it makes me go, God, you're faithful. You're faithful. Not only is he faithful, but I gotta tell you, I look at that and I say, you know what? I'm faithful. I don't know if you feel this way, but it is good to feel and know that you're faithful. And generosity tells us whether or not we're trending towards God and being like God. It's our faith becomes personal. It's not just this abstract principle I'm gonna believe in, even though scientists tell me I shouldn't. It's not that. It's that now it's become with me and God, it's personal. And then when we see how God's using, the absurdity of God using us, using me to fulfill his purposes, our faith even grows more. Let me talk to how he's fulfilled his purposes. Things that we said we were going to do 3 years ago that we've done. Site enhancements. We said every single site that we had, every campus, we want to take every campus to the next level and help them. So in Oakley, we want to do a huge, huge tech upgrade on stage. We wanted to enable back office tech stuff to broadcast stuff all over the country and engage people, whether they're in the Cincinnati area, in Kentucky, or all over the place, and that has happened. We said Florence, we want to be able to have a chapel where people can get married and buried, and that's exactly what's happened. 25 weddings, 18 funerals, it's been a hub for community in Florence. We said a Mason, we want to outfit Mason to be able to have the ability to have awaited there, and when that's happened, 50,000 people went through awaited because of the infrastructure put in for awaited. We also looked at the west side. We said that campus is growing. We need to double its capacity. We've done that. Added seats. And west side is taking off. By the way, all these things I'm talking about, every single one of these things we said we were going to do, and every single thing we said we were going to do 3 years ago, we've done. Every single one. It's because the faithfulness of God, and it's because of your faithfulness. We also said new sites. We want to have new sites. We weren't sure exactly where and what, but we still wanted them. We budgeted for them. Uptown. Uptown came into existence, remodeled an old, decrepit building, took off, 1,500 people showing up, whether it's medical community or students, every single week, 192 baptisms. Go, go, go. Central Kentucky, we didn't know that we were going to merge slash adopt three campuses in Central Kentucky and become one. We did. We've reached 1,100 new people since we've made that merger happen a little over a year ago. We've started another site in downtown Lexington. We have been able to launch with 150 people in the fall of 2018, just this last month, and it's going well. North of the Cincinnati region, we saw in Dayton. Dayton, a community happening, 40 people baptized just by spring of 2018. Incredible community engagement. We've seen in Oxford, at Miami, people who are in the community and college kids coming with more than 1,100 people engaged every single week at the University of Miami. Through Richmond, through Miami, through the stuff at Oxford, UC and Uptown, through Lexington, all major universities in the tri-state area we're in because we want to build into students. Eastside, we sent over thousands of people from Oakley to help with Eastside. People who are at Oakley, like, man, you know, like, it's not as full as it used to be. Yeah, you take 10,000 people out of us. There's probably 10,000 people that have left Oakley in the last 3 or 4 years. You think about all the sites that have started, except for Dayton, which came out of Mason, come out of Oakley. It's amazing. A few thousand more went over to Eastside, and Eastside has added at least double to what left probably from Oakley, and 5,000 people a week showing up in Eastside. Great, beautiful, absurd numbers. We've seen camps buying a piece of property that went out, man camp, woman camp, college camp, father-son camp, single my favorite puppy camp, all kinds of great camps. Almost 2,000 baptisms at our camps that we've seen. When we take a look across the nation, reaching our nation, we've seen our Anywhere community continue to increase. We've seen hubs of activity all over the country, 4,400 people engaging outside of a 25-minute drive of any Crossroads location all across our country. And consider this. Their home church, and they do Go Local, and they do the Thanksgiving food drive, which we're going to be able to be generous and get boxes today. And we talked about changing the world, and we're doing changing the world. CityLink in Cincinnati, it's the best-in-class resource to help the working poor. It's Crossroads throws the preponderance of our resources into starting and keeping CityLink going. In addition to $1 million a year that we support CityLink, we also wanted to give more on top of the I'm In campaign to help with a program called CEO that hires former felons, helps former felons get a job. It's kind of a bummer. Our country is becoming increasingly not about the second chance. So when you come out of prison and you have a felony, it's virtually impossible to get a job. That's not good for our society or the individual. We have a program that we've funded that's enabled that to happen now. We've also started a culinary training program where people who are struggling financially can get great, great money, great bank in the high-end culinary field. We started, or we're in the process of doing the Center for Hope in South Africa, which is a place for entrepreneurship. 60% of everybody in their 20s in South Africa is unemployed. You think about that. 60% of everybody in their 20s is unemployed. There's no corporate America coming to the rescue. It's going to be people starting their own businesses, and so we're throwing in of making a center for that. We're waiting for permitting to put our last final big installment of money in that. I think it'll be like another $750,000. We're waiting for permitting to go in. Meanwhile, in Nicaragua and Bolivia, we have children that we sponsor and we feed and we educate. We've been doing that for a while, all of our sites. But we wanted to throw in on clean water and educational facilities for our kids, and that's happened. For the 6,750 kids that we sponsor all through our programs, it's happened because of your generosity. In India, it breaks our heart. The people are being kidnapped and put into the rape-for-profit industry, and it's breaking our heart. Not only broken our heart, but people of generosity. It's absurd that God would need us, and we've stepped up. We've started a new home, we've rescued more girls, and people are thankful for you every single day who live in India. It's not a mirage, it's reality. And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad we didn't listen to naysayers 3 years ago. I'm so glad we didn't listen to people who are like, because right now, it's absurd how great we feel. Right now, it's absurd the things that we've seen have happened. It's absurd what we've seen happen in our midst in the last 3 years. Crazy. I give a lot of money to a lot of different places, regularly taken out of my checking account and stuff, Lib and I do, but this will always be the preponderance lion's share because we've never found anything that has a level of fruit that's here because God entrusts us with his work and he's found a community, a team that regularly says to God, we're in. Number three. It's absurd that it is generosity that will leave a legacy. Now think about this for a minute. This guy, had he not given his donkey, come along, little donkey, my toes, ooh, I don't have any toes. And had he not given this donkey, quick, name that movie. Shrek, are you people not Americans? Come on, Shrek. The best one, the very first one. My toes. Ooh, I don't have any toes. Anyway, had this guy not given of his donkey, none of us would be talking about him today. This guy's been talked about more in the last 2,000 years than most people have. Have you ever gone to a funeral and heard someone give a eulogy? And have you ever heard them say, well, I know one thing we can all be thankful for Bill. He was a great guy who always had the greatest car of anyone I knew. No. Have you ever gone to a eulogy and heard, boy, let's just celebrate Aunt Betty, because she did a great job just saving a lot of money and she died with a lot of money in the bank. So thankful for her. Nope, never heard that. What is it that we're thankful for? We're thankful for acts of generosity when someone builds into us, when they say something, when they enable our dreams to come true or the purposes of God. In the midst of our culture being so me-focused and just wear as much as you can and store up as much as you can and it's absurd that really the way that you're remembered is exactly opposite from what our culture lives for. It's not consumption. It's generosity. It's expending yourself. The beautiful generosity of laying down your life and laying down your stuff, just like this guy did and just like Jesus did. How many messages have you ever heard about? Let's talk about the passage in the Bible where the person gave $1 million. I never hear messages like that. You hear messages over and over again about the widow's mite, the widow giving her mite, or what we know in our culture as giving my 2 cents, which our culture doesn't even know that's a Bible story. Because Jesus said, watch this woman here. Watch what wow. She just gave it. She gave this massive percentage of her money. Wow. You never hear like, man, you never get excited about, gosh, he gave $1 million. He has $1 billion in net assets, and he gave $1 million. Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. That never really excites us, does it? Actually, if there's any billionaires here and you want to give $1 million to Crossroads, that would excite me. It would excite me. I would take you to lunch. That'd be what? I would take you to lunch. I'm serious. I say it every once in a while. It never happened. Anyway, the absurdity, though, of this, that this is the way we're remembered, is our generosity of laying ourselves down, because Jesus laid down his life. We added 9 sites since the beginning of the I'm In campaign in prisons. And I so love that, because those of you who are in the prison system right now, you are our church. We are you, you are us. And it's amazing that when you get released from prison, you don't have to leave your church. What's also amazing is a stat I just found about you that is amazing. Of everyone who's in our sites in prisons, 35% of everyone is a giver. 35%. That's up 5% from normal Crossroads sites. In any building you're in right now at Crossroads site, 30% gives anything, like a dollar a whole year. Think about that. 70% of everybody in our sites doesn't give a dollar. We don't even know who you are. In prison, 5% better. Awesome. 35%. And it averages 28% of their income. 28%. Thank you for being leaders. Those of you in prison, you are leaders in our church. Your generosity blows us away and challenges us. It's absurd. The generosity will be our legacy. Those of us who are in a Crossroads, this will be a legacy for us. If you're in or at the I'm In campaign, or you came in the last year at the Obsessed journey, which is still I'm In, those of us who are in the I'm In campaign are trying to end this year. Some of us are going to go another year. Some of us in Obsessed are just needing to get started. You can go to crossroads.net/leaveyourmark to see the latest stats of where we are. You can see at I'm In, and we change these as things are happening. You can see at I'm In, 18% of everybody who committed 3 years ago hasn't started. Talked about this before, friends. Come on, if you're here still, 18%, you're not faithful. You're not faithful. You need to get engaged. Come on, you need to get engaged. Start moving the ball. Others of us are doing well. Some of us are a bit off pace. It's just important for us to keep going and to be encouraged by what's happening. Keep going and finish. Just keep offering what God tends to bless you with and go forward. If you're in the Obsessed campaign, I'm In, you can also go at Leave Your Mark, and you can see we've got 51% of us who haven't started in that. Now, that was only several months ago, so that's not like a red whistles or red flag kind of thing. It's just to say, it's one thing to say something, but generosity is when we come through. So let's keep being faithful. Let's stay on the front edge of the heroes of our faith. The heroes are the ones who always follow through. They're the ones that lay themselves down and are generous. And the final absurdity of this whole thing, it's absurd that when we give, we don't lose. It's absurd, it really is. Now, think back here to this guy who is giving of his donkey. Jesus rides in on this donkey, which is kind of weird. Right? Riding in on a donkey. I live in the city of Cincinnati region, and even in the city of Cincinnati, you still have cops who are on horses. It's a really majestic sight. And when I see that, I often think that's awesome looking. And why? Like, functionally in a city, what can a cop do on a horse he couldn't do on a Segway or even a bicycle, which is a cop is completely unintimidating on a bicycle, by the way. It's like, sermon for another day, but I'm not sure exactly what that will functionally do, but I know what it mentally does. When you see, if there's a ride or something like that, you see people come in on horses, there's just kind of an awe behind it. It's like, ooh. Well, this has always been the way it has been for the human race. Conquerors always want to come in riding a horse. Jesus could have found a horse and come in. Why a donkey? Part of it was to fulfill a prophecy that I mentioned earlier. Part of it was, when you're coming in on a donkey, it's almost humiliating. Your feet are brushing the ground. You're not an ominous sight at all. He picks a lowly animal, and he comes in low He comes in the space of humility. Only the humble can be generous. Only the humble. And the Bible says that God exalts the humble and he brings down the prideful. Jesus comes in on a humble donkey because there's a guy who gives him this donkey, who absurdly gives back to God what is his. And here's the other absurdity. You ever wonder what happened after Jesus came into Jerusalem? What happened with the donkey? Like this, like, okay, I'm done with the donkey. Go off and be a stray donkey rustling through garbage. What does he do? In all reality, the owner of that donkey was there while Jesus coming in. The palms are going. The owner's there. He's watching Jesus and the donkey. He's watching. Okay, he comes. Jesus gets off. And he's like, okay, you done with the donkey now? Okay, good. Yeah. He takes his donkey, goes home. He doesn't lose his donkey probably. That's a crazy thing. When you give it, you don't lose it. I have to apologize for something. There's something that I have not done well and I haven't served you well with. I just admit that I have caved to the pressure of not being a televangelist guy. I've caved to not being health and wealth. Give to God, you're going to be blessed. I am so like anti that, and I've so gone against that. I've caved to pressure to not talk about that kind of stuff, but I have to tell you, it is true. There is things that you get when you give that you won't get otherwise. It is true. There are blessings that come to you. They're spiritual. Sometimes they're emotional. Sometimes they're physical, financial. And I haven't talked about that nearly enough because I've been afraid to be kind of boxed away. But it's true. It's absurd that, and all of us who are generous know, all of us know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, we can look like, yeah, that happened because of that. Yeah, that happened because of that. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth does not destroy, where rust does not destroy. The key thing I want you to see, what's he say? Store up, what? What's the word? For yourself. So Jesus, store up for yourself. This means when we get to heaven, in the next life in heaven, there will be unique things you will get there only because of your generosity. But it's also not in heaven. It's stuff right here, right now that happens sometimes. Lib and I have had a dream to get to New Zealand for a long time. You've been around CrossFit for 15 years. I've been talking about it for 15 years, right? I have. And like, the problem is we keep having these campaigns. Because every time we have a campaign, it's like, okay, we'll put New Zealand, okay, we're gonna kill New Zealand. Well, hey, I gotta tell you, I'm pretty excited. We actually have scheduled, we're going to New Zealand this February. It's awesome, it's awesome. What's great is we gave more money than we thought that we would give this last campaign, this last year, and we're still, that came on a delay, we're still getting what we thought that we gave up. It's beautiful, and I could give you a whole list of things that have come true, things that have happened because of the giving. It's absurd. It's absurd that when we give, we actually don't lose, but it's true. One of the stories that we have on our YouTube channel and on crossroads.net will be this week is a story of Susie. Susie and her husband, one of the things they gave up is they gave up her ability to get braces. And as you watch this video, the story, it's like, no, her teeth look pretty straight. What is she talking about? Then you find out someone literally gave her braces. And these stories happen again and again and again. And it's like God is rewarding us for our humility because that's what God says. He exalts the humble and he brings down the prideful. If all you want to see is reasons why churches are always talking about this, I know that there's a lack of an X factor in your life from a God perspective. I know that the transcendent is not what you'd like it to be. I'm telling you, there's a thing you tap into when you get into this mode of where Jesus was and where God wants us to be. Maybe my favorite person in the whole videos we're going to give you right now is this guy right here. Our standard bread and butter, what we want to do as a church, is reach average normal dudes like this guy.
We just quit going to church, and I really hadn't been since I was 12. So I'm a commercial roofer. I estimate and I project manage for a commercial roofing company. They started building Crossroads Eastside. And our company bid the job. We actually landed the job. And my wife, she kept saying, okay, when it opens, you know, we're gonna go check it out. And I said, yeah, sure. You know, I'd love to. We put the roof on, it'd be cool. And so we went, and like, I really enjoyed the message. I forget what the message was the first time we went, but they had a preview for the Super Bowl preaching. It's like, hon, we gotta come back. You know, I love football. So we went back 2 weeks later, and that's when Chuck and Brian were on stage, and they had to, you know, make each other laugh to see who got the kickoff. And that's kind of what sucked me in. You know, I was cracking up, and I was like, these guys are real guys. I can relate to this. This isn't, you know, I'm not looking at a priest telling me how bad I am. We started doing the Obsessed journey with a small group, which I did not want to join at all. I was questioning my faith. I didn't know if I believed in God, and now I'm supposed to go with my wife to a small group and, you know, talk about the Bible. And essentially, I felt like I was just going to sit there and get judged by everybody. But it wasn't like that. You know, after going with that group for a couple weeks and having some pretty real conversations, we actually clicked like really, really well. And it was pretty amazing how that worked out. My guy Brad, he's now what I consider like my mentor. He's the one who brought up Man Camp. And you know, he kept asking me, hey, do you want to go to Man Camp? And I was like, yeah, dude, yeah, I like camping. But once he told me it was 1,500 dudes going camping in the woods, it's kind of creeped me out. And I like camping, you know, but that kind of creeped me out a little bit. So finally I said, yes, that'll go. And then growing up, we always would go camping. We always went camping around train tracks. So the first night at Man Camp, you know, it's kind of surprising how emotional and deep some of the conversations really got. So after everybody, you know, shared their deepest, darkest secrets, you know, I went back to the tent to go to sleep, and I actually prayed for the first time for other people since I was 12 years old. And as soon as I said, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, a train whistle goes off in the background, and it gave me chills. It really did, because it hit home. It kind of made me think, you know, right, this Jesus guy, he really is here. He's here with us, and not only that, he really knows who I am and what I'm all about, and that was pretty amazing. The next morning, I go into the MASH tent, and that's where you got some like Kung Fu Masters / Dr. Phil guys that they just break you down, and they get to what's really eating at you. And what was really eating at me was, you know, my faith and whether what I was doing was, you know, just faking it or what it was. I didn't know what it was, but they were actually able to get me over the hump to where I could say that, yes, I accepted Jesus for the first time I said it. So I was pretty proud of that, and it was an amazing feeling too. So I don't know, I'd say a month or two after the first Man Camp, I got baptized. And then ever since then, it's kind of just, I've been working at it, I would say. And it's really just, it's kind of exploding with me and my wife. It's helping us just grow. We did the Obsessed journey, and part of the Obsessed journey was to make a commitment, which we did. Feels good to know that, you know, we're helping just like the people that have been doing this for 3 years are helping. If Crossroads Eastside was never built, I would have never went there with my wife. I never would have went to Man Camp. I mean, these things that you guys donate your money to, this is real deal stuff that you guys are giving into. Just thank you for everybody who's in the IMEN campaign, and God bless. Thank you.
Man, that's so good. You know, our official campaign commitment will be over here pretty soon, a little bit after Philip, but you know, as we prayed about this and looked at it, we said, you know, building into people is never going to be over. And so God has met all of our needs the last 3 years and a heck of a lot of our wants, and we're just going to keep our monthly amount increase that we had to just keep going. In fact, God's done that every campaign we've done. He's asked us to do that, is what we've sensed. And it's enabled our, you know, our percentage of giving to be incredibly high and exactly what we want, because there's just a charge you get by knowing that we serve a faithful God and you get to be one of the faithful ones. And we want to help all of us who are faithful in here to remember the blessing of the absurdity of generosity, because you'll never have to wonder whether or not your life mattered. You'll never have to wonder if somebody's thankful for you. People in India are thankful for you right now. People all over the world are thankful for you right now. You'll never have to wonder if you've made a difference. You'll never have to wonder if somebody is thankful you've lived. You'll never have to wonder what it's like when you go before God and what he says to give an account for your life. You'll never have to wonder, like, I don't know if I'm going to have anything to say. At least there's a couple things you'll be saying. We want you and I to remember these things. So today, all of us who are in a Crossroads, who made an I'm In commitment, who made an obsessed commitment, we're going to have you get one of these suckers. I've got it. It says, we will never have to wonder. And on the back is just the list of things we've done in the last 3 years. You're not getting a frame, by the way. This is just a sample. You get your own freaking frame. We're not that generous. You know, you get your, this is just a standard frame for an album cover is what this is. And if you're sitting here thinking, man, I need to be in, we'd love you to be in. You can go to crossroads.net/commit, or when you pick one of these up today, you can pick one of these up on your honor. If you also want to pick one of these up, a commitment card, and drop it off at the information center, or go to crossroads.net/commit. The hope is we have more of us who are in, more of us who are absurd, and the world becomes a better place. Let's pray right now. God, I thank you for faithful, generous people, a faithful, generous church. I thank you for dreams that you've given us and dreams that you've enabled us to fulfill, and the absurdity of you including us in your work is beyond me. I ask for a special blessing on all who have been faithful, and I ask for a special prodding on all those who you would like to include. You're generous, Jesus, and I pray these things in your name. Amen.